This is season 5 of Sadie's Divorced and Happy podcast, where I talk about life after divorce with a playful perspective. Are you seeking more adventure? Are you excited to explore your own self-care and sensuality? Do you long for laughter and a cheeky, fun approach to post-divorce dating? Then join me for today's episode to refresh and recharge your life after divorce. Okay, friend, do you know what today is? Do you know? I know it's Podcast Wednesday, but it is also International Day of Happiness. Did you know that happiness has its very own day? That's kind of cool, right? Well, I personally, I'm guessing you're the same, I like to celebrate happiness every day, especially after divorce, which is why I invited today's guest, the comeback coach, Joe Nisciotti, to give us some tips and advice about how to stop fucking up our happiness after divorce. I know I've done this. I'm guessing maybe you've done this once or twice. Well, Joe is here to help us out. She is a trained Reiki healer, and actually her divorce was a catalyst for her to follow her dream to help others as a life coach. And Joe's specialty is working with individuals who are going through a challenging divorce. I know I could have used a Joe during my divorce. Well, today, this is exciting because she's going to introduce us to a new kind of selfie, and it's not one that involves an iPhone. Actually, Joe created this new tool just for this episode, and it's so clever and creative. I'm so excited for you to learn more about it and how it's going to help you have even more happiness after divorce and even help you pursue your dreams. I'm feeling happier already. How about you? Awesome. All right, let's get this inspiring International Day of Happiness conversation started with Joe's two spicy facts.
Two spicy facts.
Well, coming all the way from London, we are with the comeback coach today. Joe, it is so lovely to see you. I see you all the time on the gram working your magic with your wise words. I'm like, oh, what does Joe have to say today? But now you're here with us. We are ready to listen in about, you know, not fucking up our happiness so much.
Which we do a lot.
We do that a lot. Yes, we do. You know what's frustrating is even though we get divorced, right? It's like, yes, I did this big thing. Now I'm going to be happy forever. And I have learned, I'll speak for myself, I still fuck up my happiness even though I'm divorced, Joe. It's a little annoying.
I did it for years, Sadie. I did it for years. We put ourselves in a box.
This is true. We're going to talk about that more today. But first, we got to hear these two spicy facts. What do you got? I'm so curious.
I'll give you those. But first, let me say thank you for having me. It's so great to be here. So thank you for that.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And my spicy facts. So one of them is, got a few tattoos. The relevant one is the one I got after my divorce, as soon as I got divorced, which is Invictus, which is that poem by William Henley. And it's about, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Just to remember what it's all about.
Where did you strategically place that?
I don't think strategically it was very correct, but it's in the back of my neck. So okay. I can't see it as often as I need it, but it's there. So that's that. And my second spicy fact is I love fast cars. Give me horsepower.
Really?
And I'm your girl.
Well, yeah. You do live in Europe, so you have different rules around that. Have you been to Germany?
I've been to Germany.
Did you drive a fast car
when
there?
I was growing, yeah, fast right. cars there. And when I was Crazy. Growing up in Greece, no one obeyed the rules. So,
oh, you grew up in Greece. Oh, intriguing.
Yeah,
I remember years ago in a different life, I was in Germany. I was a nanny and I was with all these three kids and their mom. And this man showing us around, I was white knuckling it, Joe. I was like, what's happening? Why are we driving so fast?
Because they didn't have speed limits.
Right.
I think they do now.
And I'm a Midwesterner. We like the rules. So I wasn't quite as spicy back then as I am now. So anyway.
Yeah. Horsepower. Horsepower is my thing.
She is a Scorpio too, listener.
Say
so
no more.
You can,
Say
you can
no more.
Think about that for a hot minute. All right, Joel, you just talked about how we box ourselves in. Talk about that and what it means around our happiness. And we want to hear today how we can stop fucking it up.
First of all, we keep outsourcing our happiness. That's what I feel. We always look outside of ourselves for it. And as long as we keep outsourcing our happiness, we'll keep chasing it.
How do you do that?
The next relationship, the next thing you can achieve, the career, the job, you're always looking for something else. The boxing yourself, which is the second element, is that I feel, yes, we got divorced. Wow, we did this big thing. But then we forget what it's all about. We kind of stay very limited, right? We don't go after what we really want in our dreams. So
I love that you say that because this year, 2024, I am focusing more on dreaming again. I feel after divorce, I was so focused on, first of all, just getting my shit together, figuring things kind of out. And, you know, not surviving. I was definitely more than surviving, but all that anxiety and stress. So it's like, I think I've forgotten how to dream again. So I love that you're bringing that up today.
Dreaming is big. Dreaming is huge. And I don't think it just happens with divorce. I think a lot of us fall into that trap in life where we forget how to dream. We're very good at it when we're kids, but then what happens when we get older? And if you forget how to dream, then what are you doing really? And if you can dream something, you can make it happen. It's as simple as that. So dreaming is big on my list. So yay, Sadie.
And I know that you created, listener, she created an acronym because I'm 51 now. I just had a birthday and I don't remember things very well, Joe. So when you told me that you're going to create an acronym for this episode, I got pretty excited. I'm like, I can remember an acronym.
Listen, you and me both, okay? Let me see if I can remember my own acronym.
I'm sure.
I got my notes.
The listener understands. Notes. He or she gets it at this stage in life. We're doing yes. our best. Anyway, so.
We're doing fine.
Yeah, we are.
So, an acronym to remember that happiness all comes down to yourself. Selfie.
Oh, perfect.
I'm going to break it down. Try and explain what each means, right?
Okay.
But the S, which stands for self, goes into E, self-exploration. I want people, like we said, to dream, to remember how to dream, to explore themselves, what it's like to be them. We forget, we go into life being someone's daughter or son, a sibling, friend, a wife, a partner, a mother, a dad, and we forget everything else about ourselves. So I want people to self-explore.
And divorce is such a perfect time to do that because you are starting this.
Ultimate calling.
Yes. When you talk about exploration, what did that look like for you after your divorce? And how has that then led to your dreams coming true? Just to connect the dots.
For me, it was a bit of a long-winded journey through a lot of things until I got my shit together and really got the gist of this. But it was really facing everything from my fears to my dreams to what I like, what I don't like, and just be curious. Be curious. What you like, what you don't like. Go out there. Whether you're relating to other people, dating other people, but be curious towards yourself more than anything.
I felt I was really good after divorce at being curious around dating, which is why on my podcast, I talk about things like, you know, polyamory and open relationships. Mm-hmm. That's why I've interviewed swingers and talked about threesomes and all of that. Cause I was very curious because I was such a good girl prior to marriage. So I got divorced. I'm like, bye-bye. But you know what I've struggled with more, and maybe the listener can resonate, is I haven't been as curious around my career. I've kept that pretty straight and narrow because I cannot afford to fuck up. Like dating, you know, I can kind of afford to fuck that up, but career, not so much. So, you know, if the listener's resonating with that, can you share? I'd love to hear more about like the things that really are high stakes.
And this is huge. And I should have gone there because you know how you forget things about yourself, talking about self-exploration?
Right.
Because I went into the straight and narrow. I was the good girl as well. I did all the right things by the book. I studied business management. I went into finance. For years, I worked in the city in the finance industry, and which wasn't me at all.
Yeah, I don't see that. I'm just getting to know you, but I don't see that. Yeah, same. Got it. I did my first career. Yeah, right. I know.
So as I was coming out of my divorce and I started asking all these questions, and then I was a stay-at-home mom, by the way, while I was married.
Okay.
Right. So all that part of me was gone. So as I was coming out of divorce, I was like, what do I want to do? And I always knew growing up, going back decades, that I wanted to serve and I wanted to help. That's how I ended up in Africa volunteering and all these things. Then I became a Reiki master and I thought that I would do it, but it still wasn't clicking, the energy healing. It wasn't enough, but I was too worried to put myself out there until I actually realized that I wouldn't settle. I wouldn't be happy. I just wouldn't be at peace until I did what I needed to do, which was become a life coach, which is what I always wanted to be in some way. But that was allowing myself to go there.
So how did you get past, you know, that part of you that said, well, this isn't the right time to do this, Joe, because you just got divorced and you really need to do something practical so that you can, because being a life coach is like what I do. I'm a photographer. It's 100% sales. It's 100% commission. No one's paying you a salary. So how did you get the courage to do that? Was it your divorce? Was it?
It was a lot of things together because it was my divorce plus my, you know, I've got Crohn's disease, so it's a chronic illness. So I've had a lot of problems with that as well. So there was all these things pushing me on all sides. And I knew something was underneath all of that bubbling to come up. And one day I remember thinking, if I'm on my deathbed and look back, will I be happy with what I've done in my life? And I'll tell you another thing, which is big for me. And I was telling a client the other day, I was playing a game with my kids and we picked up one of these cards that said, oh, say something you're most proud of. And I picked that card up and my kids said, don't say us. And I couldn't think of anything to say. And I was like, how, what am I doing? How can I not think of anything to say? So it was like little things like that that got me thinking. I was like, wait a minute, what am I doing here? I've got one life. I'm going to live it by my rules. I'm going to make it what I want to make it.
I love that. So, by being true to yourself and getting out of your own way, you are now professionally doing what you have always kind of felt called
What
to
I
do.
love
And
doing.
that has,
Yeah,
I'm going to
love
guess,
doing.
brought in a lot of happiness for you.
Tons.
Tons.
I'm so happy. Yeah, I'm so happy. But, you know, and it's my purpose to help, you know, all my clients be happy.
Love, that's the next word in your selfie
So,
acronym. So how does that connect with
yes.
self-love? I can kind of put two and two
Yeah,
together, but I'd love
that,
for you to
yes.
say.
Yeah, self-love. I think that's the hardest thing we all have to learn. No one teaches us, unfortunately. At least
No.
our generation, I feel, wasn't taught that. I feel we're doing a better job with our kids, I
Absolutely.
hope. What does that feel like? We're so good at giving it away to other people. We're so harsh on ourselves. So much judgment. Where's the compassion? Where's the kindness? You know, I'll ask clients of mine, and I was the same 7, 8 years ago. What do you love most about yourself? Blank. Come on. Think harder. Give me one thing. I put them in the mirror. Sit in front of the mirror. Find one thing. It's the source of peace, freedom, happiness. It's huge.
Right. One thing I've really enjoyed discovering since my divorce, Joe, is how much I love my own company. Because when you're married, you know, you're trying to invest into this partner and then you have your kids and then you have your career. You don't really have a lot of time even or energy or bandwidth to be thinking about self-love or, you know,
Yeah.
and now because my kids aren't with me half the time, I have a lot more time. And I really enjoy my own company in a way that I've never before. And so for the listener too, I would love for you to think about like, what are things that you do when you're alone that allow yourself to really enjoy your own company? What can you do that you just like, oh my gosh, I get to be with me. It's like when you look forward to being with a certain friend because you know you're going to talk about this
Yeah.
topic. I have a group of ladies that when we get together, we talk about dating and sex and naughty things. And I love time with them, right? So it's like it's kind of like reframing it like, ooh, I get to be with me. What am I going to do, you know?
See, I love that you bring that up because I do too now. I didn't when I first got divorced. And I think so many people struggle with this. And I hear it all the time. Lonely. How am I going to be alone? How can I do it? My kids are gone. And I remember that. I remember keeping busy all the time just so I'm not alone. And now, oh my God, I love it. I love being on my own. For me, I love being outdoors with my dogs. I've got two dogs. I have loved nothing more than being outdoors, hiking, walking, exploring, going up in the hills. It's just my favorite thing. I am a massive bookworm. I read a lot. You know, I ask my clients because a lot of us have like hidden talents and things that we love doing that we don't acknowledge at all. You know,
Hidden
like
talents.
some
Ooh.
people like, yes, like some people love painting or they forget or like watercoloring or doing puzzle, like puzzles, fine. But, you know, doing things that they forget, they've forgotten about. And it's so rewarding to just sit with yourself and do that.
What is one of your hidden
Yeah.
talents, Joe? I'm leaning
Oh,
in.
well.
We want to know. The listener
Well,
and I want to know. Well, she says as she tosses her hair. Well.
yeah. I don't know how much I can talk about my hidden talents.
It's my podcast, you know. We don't really edit too much around here.
Yeah, we'll keep that for another podcast episode.
Oh, maybe a playful Instagram live. Now I got a little tingle there. Now I'm really curious.
Yeah, see, I'm giving you, I'm throwing you hints.
The divorced dad's like, I'll be following Joe after this episode, which you should anyway. Okay, freedom. It's part of your selfie acronym, freedom.
Freedom, freedom, freedom. A big one. Freeing yourself from the shoulds. So many shoulds. Fuck the shoulds.
Fuck the shoulds. I like that.
Fuck the
That should be
shoulds.
a bumper sticker.
Yes, it should be. Doing the right thing, taking the high road, doing the right by everyone else, Give yourself the freedom to be true to yourself, to be true, do right by you. No one else. No one needs to get it. No one needs to understand it, to abide by it. Give yourself the freedom to be you, to have autonomy over your own decisions. Huge. I mean, I think so much, so many of us live by all these shoulds. I should do this. I should do that. I should be that. You know, I should achieve this. I should behave a certain way. I should show up a certain way. I should look a certain way. What does it matter if you're not happy inside?
How have
You're
your
just
shoulds
digging a deeper
changed? Like,
hole.
give an example of how your like a should for you has changed.
Well, a big one for me was co-parenting, actually. That was a
Okay.
massive thing for me because I was always trying to do the right thing, do the right thing, do the right thing, overextending myself to do what I thought was the right thing, to be the good, you know, the good girl, to be the good person. And that puts a lot of expectations on yourself. And by default, without realizing, you're expecting just as much from the other person. And it all changed when I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have my boundaries that protect me and just take it from there.
And how did that initially go with your co-parent?
Initially, I think it was a bit, there was a bit of a shock. Who is this person? Where's Joe? What? And there was a bit of pushback. But I have to say, it's so much healthier now for both of us. A lot of that toxicity and friction's gone. Because if you don't have boundaries, this is what I'm finding. If you don't have good personal boundaries, you're not very good at respecting people's boundaries either.
Oh, I totally
So,
agree. You have to respect your own boundaries before you can. And I will own
exactly.
that. I have observed that about myself. That divorce has taught me that, oh, you're not really good, Sadie, at even honoring your own boundaries. And that's something that I am much more committed to in the last couple of years, is if I'm going to be expecting things from other people, I need to like honor my own boundaries for myself. So I'm so glad you brought that up today, because it's easy to be like, well, I can just let that go. I don't really need to be like that, even though this makes me happier. I can just be like this, because then I get this person to interact with me.
And I think that's our default conditioning. And we fall back on that so easily when things get a bit tough, right? And it's a work in progress. Like you hear boundaries all the time, boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. It just doesn't happen overnight. You have to be very vigilant. You have to keep practicing at respecting those for yourself, like you said, first, before you can engage with anyone else's. I find that still I catch myself sometimes not doing a good enough job with my boundaries. And I need to keep reminding myself. When you practice healthy boundaries and detachment, right? You're not internalizing everyone else's behavior around you.
So true.
So when your ex is having their own shit they're dealing with, you're not sitting there thinking, oh, it's something I've done, or how can I fix this, or what does that mean? You stay in your lane, your side of the street, which is clean and tidy, right? You're happy. You give them their space. You've got your own. Next thing you know, everyone's fine. But if you keep picking at it or internalize it, it's just big drama. Whether it's external drama between you and your ex, for example, or whether it's you internally being really dysregulated because you can't
Right.
process and work through it.
Right. Okay, what is next on this acronym?
Intuition for I.
Intuition.
Intuition for I. Although there were so many things I wanted to put into for I, but I chose intuition because, again, no one teaches us how to pay attention to our intuition, which is huge. It is such, I mean, it's the most incredible compass we have in our life from the day we're born that tells us what's right for us and what isn't. And half the time, we don't even know what that sounds like or where to pay attention, right? What it is. That can show up in sensations in your body, right? When you're feeling like your heart starts racing, when you get all sweaty palms or
Right.
all
Fight
these
or
things,
flight.
right?
Yeah.
Or
That's a
yeah,
big
or like
clue.
a tightness in your chest,
Right.
all of that, right? That's your intuition telling you something isn't right. Pay attention. Because that's how you avoid getting in situations that are not meant for you, that are not aligned with yourself and your values, which then will affect your happiness eventually.
Absolutely. And that can be a working relationship, obviously, a romantic connection, friendship.
Anything, anything, and everything. And another way that I find I connect to my intuition is, again, nature, which people don't use enough. It's so grounded. Go outdoors, be outdoors, and allow yourself to be present. So many things come up.
I think too that practicing just being more still and just being and paying attention to how my body is feeling has been very beneficial too. tapping into that intuition. Because again, I'm a doer. I love producing. I love being busy. I'm very extroverted. So if I'm going, it's really hard to be able to even acknowledge, you know, unless I'm having a major fight or flight moment, which then that's obvious. But I think intuition also, you have to create some stillness to really indulge in that.
Well, space. You need to allow yourself space. And a lot of the times, sometimes because of survival, we just go into the next thing, avoiding. We want to keep busy all the time.
Right.
And also in a culture where if you say I'm taking some time out or time for myself, it's looked down upon, right? If you're sitting still, well, couldn't you be doing something? Why aren't you busy? Like, really, you have time to sit? No.
Yeah, there's a judgment around that. There is a judgment.
There is a judgment around, for sure. So it's giving yourself permission to give yourself that space and sit with it. It's incredible. That's what, for me, was my saving grace, especially through my divorce and my health issues after major operations. It was sitting still, giving myself space to work through it. My answers just came rolling in. And like I said from the beginning, no one teaches you this. No one tells you at a young age, listen to your gut, listen to your intuition. What does it tell you? Did you ever hear that language when you were growing up?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like something you need to train. I mean, it's always been there. It's reminding yourself that it's there and getting to know yourself again, how that shows up for you. And you can only do it in stillness most of the time.
Beautiful. Now, the last E in selfie, I love this, expression.
Be yourself. No filters. I mean, you've got this. You know how to do that. I'll give you that.
Sometimes, you know, I will put things out there and I'm like, I maybe should have filtered that a little bit. But anyway.
No, see, it's being yourself. It's express, and also not just expressing yourself and stop filtering yourself and all that. It's also remembering the ways or finding the ways through which you can express yourself best, right? Sometimes it's art. Sometimes it's dancing. It's just expression, pure expression in whatever form you choose.
What about the person who's not interested in art or... You know, what about the person who's very logical?
How could they express themselves better? Are they filtering themselves? Are they talking free? Are they saying what's on their mind? Are they worried about what other people are going to say? Are they, you know, expressing their values and everything that they do and how they show up? The logical person, what works for them? Could it be writing? Could it be journaling? It's for you. It's not for anyone else. So it doesn't matter who sees it or who doesn't necessarily. It's how you show up, but making sure that you express yourself in the best way possible and honoring who you are.
One way I love to express myself too is just through showing appreciation for other people. Like that brings me a lot of happiness to really express to people what they mean to me. That brings me a lot of joy.
And that's a very good way.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with my kids, that's been really lovely because I didn't receive that as a child. You know, I received love, obviously, but it wasn't verbal. And I think for me, it's been a great way to connect with my kids and have them really hear those positive messages about who they are as humans. I find it empowers me to express to them love that way. But I agree. I mean, being a creative person, expression is everything to me. If I couldn't express myself creatively, I would be miserable, honestly. So that is a huge, on the acronym selfie, that is one that I do daily. It's just part of who I am.
But you have found a way of doing it, right? And it's about finding ways that work, because it's different for everyone. Like you said, you feel you do that through work, obviously, and you express yourself brilliantly and you're very creative. But you've also found that way of expressing gratitude, and that's one way to do it. And it's what works for everyone. It's so individual, this one.
What about the expression of the hard things? You know, I think for me also, I'm learning to be able to, you know, talk about my needs and express if feelings were hurt, that type of thing. But some things I just express, like you said, in a journal. I remember when I had like a situationship a couple years ago and I was so angry at myself. I was really angry at myself. So I was angry at this person. I was angry at myself. And so I just wrote in my journal all the hard things because it was, you know, like saying them out loud just was impossible because that person wasn't participating. But I was able to express them in a way that helped me get it out, you know. And I'm sure maybe there's someone who's listening today who has that same challenge. Like, how do you express the hard stuff? especially if someone else is, you know, a party that created harm and they're not available to receive it. You know, how do you do it for yourself out of self-love, out of creating, you know, letting it go so you can have more happiness? What would you say to someone you were coaching about that?
Well, the one thing you don't want to do is bottle it up, right? Because whatever the hard stuff, if you bottle that up, it will find its way in your body, you know, and then that's what you want to avoid. So journaling is huge. Absolutely. Sometimes writing a letter, if it concerns another person, but you can't express it to that other person, sometimes writing a letter that you never send.
Right.
That you never send.
I finally figured that part out at this stage.
Yeah.
I don't need to send it. Back in the day when I was in my 20s, I would send those letters and I'd never get the result. Are you shocked? And now I've learned, like, I don't need to send this fucking letter, but I'm going to write it and it's going to help me. Yeah. Yeah. At least I've learned that. Yeah. Progress, Joe.
And right, huge. Yes, Sadie. No, you know, it's right. But when you go at it, you come across people that have so much anger, right?
Yeah, I do.
So much anger and been so hurt. They've been so betrayed. Write a fuck you letter that you never send.
Mm.
It's powerful. It's a powerful exercise.
Yeah, I've done that. It feels good. Yeah. Yeah.
It feels good.
Almost feels kind of naughty too. Like, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do that. And then if you want to make it a bit more ceremonial, write it and then burn it. You know, there's so many things you can do, but then write and go all out. It's not about if it makes sense or if you read it back, does it make sense? Who cares? Or if you're using punctuation, just write, let yourself go. And otherwise, talk to friends, talk to people in your support, you know, circle, if you can, if you need to get it out, that will listen and will support you and show you compassion. It's important.
I agree.
Don't
want to keep things in. One way that I expressed myself during divorce was through boxing. I took boxing classes and I would like hit the bag and swear. And oh my gosh, that was like I got addicted to it, but I loved it. It was so transformational internally and externally. So listener, find maybe even like something you can do with your body that feels expressive to move. I have another friend. She loves yoga. She just can't do enough yoga. And I see that as a form of expression. Yoga is very creative to me, what people do with their bodies. So it can be bigger than just language. It can be using.
Yeah. That's why I said dance. I mentioned dance earlier. Yep. Punch a pillow, you know, anything that gets the emotion out of your body when it needs to be released.
So one question I have about your acronym is where is the layer of sexuality when it comes to...
You can put it wherever you want.
You know, I had to ask Joe. I'm like, self-love. Ooh, let me count the ways.
No, self-exploration. Right. Self-exploration. Right. Explore.
Denying yourself. Yeah, not denying yourself, right?
Don't deny yourself, any parts of you.
Well, Joe, I have loved having this conversation with you. I think, you know, for me, really, not getting in my own way. And the part about dreaming again, I really lean into that. So having this acronym, and I am going to write it out because I think it's just a good reminder of how I practice self-love, exploration, freedom, honoring my intuition, how I'm expressing myself leads to even more happiness. And I think dreams and happiness are kind of interchangeable, wouldn't you say? Like achieving our dreams, like being in a good spot, like being in a great place emotionally, physically, motivates us to believe we can achieve our dreams.
Well, I'll take it even further.
Yeah, take it further.
It can happen. If you can dream something, it means there's a future version of yourself out there already doing it. And I so believe that. So it's how do you go and meet her? What steps do you need to take to go and meet that version that's already living that dream of yours? So it's allowing yourself to dream. That's what we don't do. Once you allow yourself, and I tell my clients, go be delusional, be bold. And my kids laugh because they hear me say, I tell my kids, be delulu. And they're like, how do you know that term? I love that term. Be delusional. Be so bold in your desires and go after them. If you can think it and dream it, you can make it happen. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right. Well, this has been such an inspirational chat. Listener, if you are ready not just to have more happiness in your life, but for your dreams to come true after divorce, I want you to follow Joe, the comeback coach. I want you to go to the show notes after this episode. You will find her website information and links to learn more about her services and her coaching and everything that she has going on in her incredible life in London. And Joe, it has been such a treat to have you on this episode. I knew you would be the one that I wanted to talk to about not fucking up our happiness anymore. And I'm ready to stop fucking it up. I know the listener is. We're pumped up over here. So thank you again. I feel like you are my sister from another mister. And I just know someday we are going to meet up, hopefully in your city, because I think it's a little more interesting than mine. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have an indulgent chat and laugh and do something really spicy. So thank you, Joe.
I'll have the fire brigade on standby because I have a feeling we're going to set it on fire. The town, London. But thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
A Stylish Exit by Nicole Richman provides intuitive dating coaching that helps divorced women navigate the online dating pool. Using her unique combination of astrology, self-love, and style, Nicole will teach you how to swipe with intention and confidence. Ready for your glow-up? Learn more about Nicole on Instagram at astylishexit or email her, nicole@astylishexit.com. Thank you again, Nicole Richman, for being an official sponsor of the podcast. And Nicole and I actually did a very playful Instagram Live just this last Friday on the 15th of March. We talked about dating after divorce. If you were part of that, thank you for all of your participation and your comments. It was so much fun because I do these games. I do like a true and false and I ask questions and people comment. We have a great time. Anyway, so she also shared three tasty dating tips. So don't worry if you missed out on it because all of my lives are saved on my Instagram page. Just go to @SadiesDivorcedAndHappy, join in the fun, and actually I have a fun surprise for you. Joe, our guest today, is going to be doing an Instagram Live with me this coming Saturday, March 23rd at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's going to be a little coffee theme. We're going to have some fun questions and I want you to join in. So catch us there. Bring your questions for Joe. And if you can't be part of the live, you can DM me your question and I'll ask Joe your question. That'll be fun. All right. Speaking of games and playfulness, it is the perfect time to share the burning question for the week. And the question this week comes from a friend of mine. She's also a listener of the podcast. She's been a guest on the podcast and she has her own podcast. She's a busy lady. Her name is Kay Thomas. And here is Kay's question.
Hey, Sadie, this is Kay, host of the podcast Coffee and Divorce Chat. So I have two questions for you. My first question is, the guest that you had on your show a couple months ago, he was very handsome and cute. So curious minds want to know if he's single. But seriously, my other question is related to long distance dating. I love to get feedback and hear how other people manage dating someone that lives more than 2 hours away. And some tips and advice, you know, outside of FaceTime calls, especially when you're probably only seeing the person maybe once, maybe twice a month. So would love to get feedback and hear other ways to stay connected with that person. Thanks again. Bye.
I love your questions, Kay. I love how you're shooting your shot on the podcast. And I am so curious, who is this guest of mine that you found so yummy? I think all of my guests are yummy, but you'll have to DM me, friend, and let me know. And then maybe I can help you out and answer that question. All right. The other question, I've got this, Kay, because I only date people out of town. So I've got ideas for you. Yes, the FaceTime conversations, you want to kind of create some more sparks and some more fun. So I have some ideas. First of all, have you ever had a movie night with your friend that's out of town? That can be a lot of fun, especially if it's a more playful movie. Are you following me, Kay? I bet you're following me. Another fun idea that I've done that I've had a lot of fun doing actually is cooking together. I know, something simple. You know, you have your selfie stick. I have a very long selfie stick. So you just, it's like a tripod, right? You just set up your selfie stick and you can cook a meal together. And that is so much fun. Another idea that I have done with people that I've dated who live long distance is read a book together. It can be around personal growth. It can be, again, a little more playful. Maybe it's a novel. You could have your own private book club. It could get very interesting. You can make the questions really delicious. Another fun thing that I have done is I've hidden gifts. So when I've gone to visit people I've dated, I've left fun gifts behind, you know, maybe under his pillow or in some place that's, you know, a little more strategic. And then when he finds a gift, it's so much fun. And then he always thinks of you when he looks at the gift because you want to kind of be on his mind. Another fun idea that I've done is swap belonging. Maybe like underwear. I don't know if he's going to wear your underwear, but I have definitely enjoyed wearing boxers from a lover. Yeah, I'm just going to own it. I'm owning it. So those are some ideas. Another idea that I've done with people that I've dated who live out of town is being really intentional with conversation, because I'm guessing you talk every day with this person that you're dating and you give updates about your day. We'll be more creative with that. Like every day, give one naughty update, or maybe share a real important win that you've had. Maybe you share something more vulnerable, like you do highs and lows. So being creative and more intentional with those daily updates. I know someone I dated last year, we would always share our wins for the day together. And that was so much fun because I always looked forward to it. I always looked forward to hearing what his wins were. And I also loved sharing them with him. And then we'd celebrate together. It was fun. And don't forget games. One game that I can recommend is my dating flavor profile quiz. And Kay, if you have not done this yet with your friend who lives in another town, do it. It's so fun. I have a 2-scoop version. There are 3 categories to this quiz: vanilla, strawberry, and sprinkles. Vanilla is like the dating basics, and you probably have learned that about this person, but the strawberry ones are around EQ and ethics. And then sprinkles, my friend, that's like the best category because you might learn something about him and his preferences in the bedroom that maybe you haven't yet explored or asked. So have some fun with it, Kay. You can actually play it at divorcedandhappy.net. Just go to my website and go to the menu. It's VSS quiz. I also have a link to the quiz in the show notes. So let me know how the quiz goes for you. Let me know what your flavor is. Yummy. That would be so fun. Okay, friend, if you would like to ask a burning question like Kay, I would love that. There's a link in the show notes. You just click the link and ask me your question. It can be about dating or life after divorce or any fun fact you want to know about me. Here's my playful question for you this week. Speaking of dating, are you at a place with your life? Maybe you've been divorced a while now. Maybe you just got divorced where you are just not interested in dating. You just can't be bothered with dating. I would love to hear from you. And what has that been like for you? What have you learned about yourself? I would love for you to share. Again, click the link, share your answer, or you can DM me on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. That whole conversation about playful games with your partner is the perfect lead-in for next week's episode. Here is a clue, and I'm just going to say, next week's episode is very different than today's. You know how I roll. I mix it up. It is very different. It's like a 180. It's very spicy, very adult themed. It's naughty. Okay. I think you get the drift, right, friend? Here is the actual clue for next week's episode. The clue is the guests, they're a very memorable couple. They were part of my season 1 fun, and they love to eat pineapple. Yeah, enjoy that tasty clue. And be sure, divorce dad, to listen in next week to this all new, very, very memorable season 5 episode. And have the best International Day of Happiness, will you, for me? And check out this Instagram Live with me and the comeback coach, Joe, on Saturday, March 23rd at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on the gram. Bring your coffee. We're going to have some fun. We always have fun together. Can't wait to have fun with you next week. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. And be sure to treat yourself by subscribing to the podcast. If today's show gave you a boost, consider giving us some love with a 5-star rating and an enticing review. Interact with Mike and me all season long on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Pinterest at Sadie's Divorced and Happy. Looking for an affordable and effective way to market your services and products? Consider sponsoring the podcast. Email contact@divorcedandhappy.net to learn more about our sponsorship opportunities. Join us next Wednesday for more delicious life after divorce fun.